Now, we've been talking about it over the last week or so since the news came through that Emboir Pinola have turned down planning permission for a strategic housing development here in Killarney on the Port Road alongside Killarney National Park. 228 housing units. One of the main reasons for it was because of the impact during construction and upon completion on the habitat of the lesser horseshoe bat in the Killarney National Park, the adjacent Killarney National Park. We've been talking about the political ramifications of this, the wider housing issue in Killarney and in the country as a whole. Many of you with suggestions suggesting that there are plenty of other areas where houses like this could be and should be built in Killarney without interrupting wildlife. But what about the lesser horseshoe bat and its importance to our ecosystem? With me on the line to talk about this is Dr. Niamh Roach of Bat Conservation Ireland. Niamh, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Gerry. Great to be on.
Now, tell me about the lesser horseshoe bat. What is its importance to our ecosystem and the fact that it is, you know, hugely important and it carries one of its central locations in the country?
Yeah, so the lesser horseshoe bat is, as its name says, lesser in that it's very small. So it only weighs about the same as a €1 coin. But with its wings spread out, you know, it looks a lot bigger, you know, when you see it flying at night. But it's a tiny little ball of fur. And as you say, it is important. And the reason why it's very important in terms of legislation and protection is that the lesser horseshoe bat was once very widespread all across Europe. But in the 1960s, 1970s, it actually became extinct in some parts of Europe. So now, where it used to be in most of Germany, it's now only found in parts of the south. And where it used to be in the Netherlands, for example, it's completely extinct. And so basically this massive contraction in its range and population was followed then with some laws at a European level to try and protect it so that we can retain and maintain its current populations.
And why did it become extinct in those areas? Was it construction projects? Was it defelling of felling of forests or just impacts, human impacts or other on the way it lived?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a whole combination of those things, but basically landscape scale changes. So, for example, in the Netherlands, I don't know if you've ever visited it, but it's covered in a lot of roadways that are brightly lit at night. And then it doesn't have many hedgerows and things like that as well that would be kind of connecting habitats for the likes of lesser horseshoe bats. So basically landscape level changes were what did for it. Whereas in the west of Ireland, we have some nice mosaic landscapes. You've got trees, you've got hedgerows, you've got scrub. And that's kind of what the lesser horseshoe bat likes. It likes to fly along hedges, along stone walls, tree lines, and within woodlands and maybe alongside lakes. You know, the kind of scrub and that forms along lakesides. So those are kind of the habitats that lesser horseshoe bats like. And they're found, you know, as you can imagine, in the west of Ireland in, you know, good abundance. And actually the west of Ireland is where the lesser horseshoe bat is found in Ireland now. It's only found in six counties from Cork, Kerry, Limerick, Clare, Galway and Mayo. It's not found in other parts of Ireland. So it's got a very restricted distribution.
How has it been doing over the last number of years? I've been reading that there's been a little bit of a bump, an increase in its population.
That's right, yeah. So, well, first of all, I should say that we've only been trying to accurately monitor this bat now since around the mid-90s. Okay, so all of the centuries before that, we don't know what happened to it, but we're assuming that basically it would have declined hugely when, you know, say, you know, when humans came to Ireland and they did a lot of deforestation. So the likes of the lesser horseshoe bat would have suffered from that hugely. So we assume over the centuries, lesser horseshoe bats have declined a huge amount because there's actually remains of lesser horseshoe bats found in a cave in Waterford where it's not found now. So we know that it's probably contracted its range hugely over the centuries in Ireland, but it's still in, you know, like I said, in those six counties, your one included. And when we've actually been starting to measure it and wildlife rangers have gone out every summer and every winter to count at the sites where lesser horseshoe bats have been found, we've actually been seeing since the mid-1990s an increase in the numbers. And we think that that's actually largely to do with climate change. and, you know, increased survival during the winter when they're normally hibernating.
Why would that be? Why would climate change be improving their population? Is it an uptick in temperatures or another factor?
Well, yeah, I mean, an uptick in temperatures would potentially mean that they are less likely to die in cold weather in the winter, and also that there might be, you know, a slightly extended season when there are some insects to eat, so that when they go out and they forage, normally with bats in Ireland and in Europe, they hibernate in the wintertime. So, because they're like swallows, if you can imagine a swallow, they come here and there's loads of insects for them in the summer. So they, but then in the winter, there's nothing for them, so they have to do something else. So swallows migrate, they go down to Africa. So our bats, they can't migrate those long distances, so they hibernate instead. And that's basically where they've built up fat in the later part of the summer. And then they use that fat when they go into this deep, torpid state. So their heart rate slows down, their body temperature drops. There's hardly any blood circulating except for in the vital organs of the body. And so it's called hibernation. And so Irish bats hibernate, and lesser horseshoe bats included. So lesser horseshoe bats go to underground sites usually, caves, cellars, tunnels, that kind of thing. And so if there's slightly higher ambient temperatures in the wintertime, on the odd occasion when they do wake up and go out, they might have a little something to feed on if the temperatures are that little bit higher. So that's possibly why climate change may be impacting on them. I mean, you know, we're surmising a good bit here. We're kind of trying to figure out from limited data what exactly is going on, but that's what we think.
Why are they important?
So lesser horseshoe bats, like all of our bat species, are, you know, essential components in our ecosystem. They're flying out at night, and what they're doing is they're mopping up midges and all those kind of smaller insects. That's what they feed on. They're insectivorous. So they're basically providing us with what you call an ecosystem service. So reducing the amount of, insect repellent we need to put on by going out and eating insects. A pipistrelle bat, which is about the same size as a lesser horseshoe bat, we think eats about 3,000 midge-sized insects in one night alone. So if you've got a population of bats or a roost of bats in the nearby vicinity, they're doing a huge service.
3,000. And if they're not there, what happens? Too many insects and a bigger impact on the rest of the ecosystem as a result?
Well, this is it, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's going to have an impact, feedback into, more pests.
Yeah, okay. And look, if you are out at night or in the evening, you can spot bats flying around. Is it, if you're in Kerry, is it a high percentage chance that it's a lesser horseshoe bat that you're seeing?
So the way you'd know a lesser horseshoe bat is it sticks very close to walls, sticks very close to hedges. It might be fairly close, very low down, like maybe only 1 or 2 metres above the ground. The lesser horseshoe bat, you probably heard of echolocation. That's how bats find their way around at night. They can see, but of course in the darkness it's harder to see. So they actually use sound, this high-pitched sounds. They make these high-pitched squeaks and they listen for the echoes. And that tells them how far away objects are or things in the way. So lesser horseshoe bats have an unusual way of echolocating. They actually transmit the sound through their nose. They've got a strange, what we call a nose leaf, a sort of skin around the nose, and they actually project the sound through their nose. And it's really, really high-pitched. It's up at 110 kilohertz. So it doesn't travel far through the air. So lesser horseshoe bats don't have a very big, wide picture of their surroundings. So they have to stick to walk close to walls, close to hedges.
So they have something to rebound off so they can figure out where they're going.
Yes, so that they can basically orientate themselves. Okay. Otherwise, they'd be getting lost, you see?
Sure. Final brief point for you, Niamh. It was suggested and talked about in terms of the disruption of their commute along the Deanach River and along the route which they travel in Clare National Park, right next to the adjacent to this project where it would be, some people saying, look, why couldn't they just range out further in the Clarion National Park? There's thousands of acres there. Is it as simple as that, or is it as delicate as they can't be disturbed in terms of what would happen to them?
Okay, so generally speaking, lesser horseshoe bats are fussy. okay? They have a roost that they like and that suits them and that, you know, basically suits the kind of thermal conditions that they need to raise their young in the summer. They might have a nearby hibernation site that also suits them. And they only actually go about 1 to 2 kilometres away from the roost at night to forage. And when the mothers have young, they have to be able to get back very quickly to feed them in the middle of the night. They feed them their own milk, of course, because they're mammals like us.
Yeah.
And they have to be able to get back to feed them. So basically what happens around a lesser horseshoe roost only happens mostly within the 1 to 2 kilometre range.
Yeah.
They're not a very large bat. They don't have the energy to be going up high and fast and far, you know, on a night.
Yeah.
So basically the conditions that they have suit them in that spot.
And they're delicate.
And, you know, that's why they have this restricted distribution and why they're not found all over the country. Because, you know, the conditions are right in the places where they're found.
Okay, a listener says...
They're basically the fussiest, the kind of fussiest bat we have, if you like, you know.
They are indeed. A listener says, I built my house 16 years ago. For the last 4 years, these very small bats have come to roost in my house. For the last 4 years, I had 155 bats last year. They have now left for this year. So that's a different situation, I suppose.
Yeah. So that's what we, you know, a lot of, basically around the country, thousands of people are hosting bats in their attics, you know, are the custodians of bat roosts. And the bats, when they're in a roof at night, you know, during the daytime, they're not bringing in nesting material or chewing on wiring. They don't do the things that mice do. They just hang up there and they often use humans' buildings in the summertime where they give birth to a single baby. And they raise that baby over the course of a few weeks, and then they would leave towards the end of the summer to go to the hibernation sites.
Okay.
So usually it's a fairly short window that they're in the buildings.
Okay, brilliant. Niamh, thanks a million for talking to us this morning and explaining all that for us about the lesser horseshoe bat and its importance.